Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
That was beautiful, wasn't it? That's a great way to start the service this morning, and we appreciate that very much, Bell Choir. Just want to let you know, in the bulletin, there are a bunch of announcements. There are a lot of things that are going on over the next coming weeks. Please through all the announcements. The one announcement that I do want to highlight for you is this evening we have a Christmas Eve service here in the sanctuary. It'll be at 5 o'clock. So it'll be from 5 to 6 this evening, and invite you to come back out for that. Just also wanted to remind you, in the bulletin there are instructions for how to give. There are three different ways to give. You can give in the boxes in the back. There's also an online way you can give through the Church Center app. So just a lot of ways that you can give. For thinking about year-end giving, just remember your giving, in order to be counted for this year, it needs to be postmarked by the 31st or in the office by the 31st. So that's kind of the rules that we're going by with that. Bow with me, if you would, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come in from the rain, to come in from the cold, and to be together with other believers, and be together with others who are here this morning to the birth of Jesus. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we move through this service. I pray that you would move us not only to be in a mindset of getting ready to celebrate Christmas tomorrow, but also to look for opportunities where we can, even in our own lives and in the lives of our friends and family, make this Christmas season about something more than just gifts and eggnog, but make this about the that you have given to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you, and we pray all these things in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning, Redeemer. And Merry Christmas. Why don't we stand to our feet and begin worship together? Tell them, I hope you're having a very Merry Christmas, and it's good to see you. All right, everybody, make your way back to your seats, but please remain standing. Thank you.
Advent is the season of reflective preparation of the first coming of Christ at Christmas and the expectant return of Christ at his second coming.
It's a tradition that began in early century Europe and has been widely practiced by believers around the world to this day.
The fourth candle reminds us of God's love for humanity. We can love one another with a pure heart because we have been born again into a new life that will last comes from the eternal living word of God.
John 3:16-19. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil.
And the mountains in reply.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Jesus, we do come before you this morning proclaiming who you are and your greatness and your mercy and your love for us. Lord, and I pray if we haven't felt it recently, that you would be here with us this morning and that we would know just how much you love us. Lord, I pray that we would surrender to you in this season during the holidays and everything else that's going on. I pray that we would stop, we would take a deep breath, and we would give you all the glory that you are certainly deserving of, and we are not. This holiday isn't about us. It isn't about our families. It isn't about presents. It certainly isn't about Santa. Lord, I pray that we would refocus our minds, our hearts, and collectively as a body, that you would be glorified here in this place and as we go out into the world. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
Well, tomorrow morning is Christmas morning. And just so you know, the forecasters have forecast 40 degrees.
I think they changed it to 42 this morning.
Yeah.
Your mic.
Okay, how about that? There you go. Okay, so I got to tell you a story. So then my wife or my daughter was married this past weekend, last Saturday. And so beautiful service. It was a great service, everything. And so like Mark's dad got up and did his part and it was good, everything. And then I got up and my mic was off the whole time. So like it was just terrible. I felt awful afterwards. And Autumn, like, she didn't care. She was like, ah. Mark didn't care. Oh, I'm married, I don't care. But all the time I feel, how could I forget to turn on my mic? And I did it again. We're just gonna plaster that thing on me and I'm not gonna turn it off at all. So anyways, tomorrow morning, 40 degrees, 42 maybe. The forecast keeps changing, but it's going to be cold tomorrow morning. And so tomorrow morning is going to be a perfect time for you to when you get up in the morning to have a hot coffee or tea or hot chocolate or whatever it is you drink. And what better way to do that than in your new mug? So on your way out today, you all are going to get a chance to get one of these mugs. And so tomorrow morning is just going to be a wonderful time. It's going to be cold. I've been praying all week, Lord, make it cold on Christmas morning. No, I haven't. I'm just kidding. But it's going to be cold, and this is going to be a perfect time for you to drink something warm mug. So make sure on your way out, you stop by the Welcome Center and get your mug, take it home, and it's going to be great. Now, there's just something plain old enjoyable about getting a gift, isn't there? It's just great. We just like getting it. We just like getting gifts. And for modern humanity, that's the way all people really function. There's some weird people out there, but for the most part, people like getting gifts. So when you look at the Christmas season and when you hear the stories how God the Father sent Jesus down as a gift, people love that. This is great. Like they like the concept of getting a gift from God. And so when it comes to looking at the gift that God loves, people are often, and we're included in that, people are often okay with it. Like, this is good. I like the fact that God loves me. Like, it's just a positive thing. It's a wonderful thing to be loved by God. The supreme God of the universe who can go anywhere and do anything, he kind of likes me. It's just a wonderful thing. But what I want us just to think about that concept for just a second. I want us to think about the fact that indeed the Lord does love each and every person on this planet. He loves us. But if we're really honest, and I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself several times this morning, but this is the first one. If you're really honest, don't you kind of feel like the amount of love that God has for us really deserve? Don't you feel like this love and this favor that God has for us is probably more than we need? It's like excess. And so the question is, does God give us his love just for us to ingest, just for us to soak in, or is there something more? Does he intend something more to be done with it? And that's what we're going to ask, the question that we're going to ask of our text this morning is that, what does God want believers to do with his love? What does God want us to do with his love? And so if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to the book of John. And we're going to look at a time period where John is writing about a time where Jesus is on the earth, and he's in a physical, and he's talking to his disciples, and they're kind of in a group, and they're having a conversation together. And in John chapter 15, Jesus tells them, and the reason I'm telling you that there's this physical aspect here is because I want you to really see and hear what the disciples would have heard. Jesus basically tells the disciples, I love you guys. It's a powerful moment because we often hear this general concept that God loves us. But Jesus, this is a very striking moment because Jesus tells the disciples, I love you. And it's a powerful moment. And although we aren't necessarily there, for a lot of us, we can attest to the fact that God does love us. Even maybe in the past week, we've had opportunities in which the Lord has expressed his love to us. Now, maybe he didn't stop and say, hey, I love you. But he's doing stuff in our lives, and we're getting the message loud and clear that God loves us. And so the question is, what does the Lord intend us to do with that? And he tells the disciples what he intends them to do with his love. In John chapter 15, we're going to look at verses 12 through 14 this morning. Chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. And these guys, the disciples, the 11 disciples, Judas Iscariot has already gone off, and he's on his way to see the high priest, and he's going to betray Jesus, and so he's gone. But the 11, and there might be some more that are there, and Jesus tells them, guys, I want you to understand, I love you. Which is a huge concept for them to understand. And then he goes on, and he talks to them to do with his love. What is, I'm giving you this love, what do I want you to do with it? And so what he's going to tell them, is he's going to tell them is I want you guys to deliver to each other a familiar love. And I'll explain what that is in a minute. And then he tells them, I want you guys to love each other with a forfeiting love. And then he tells them, I want you guys to love. Now, what's so important about this context here is that these disciples are around together, and Jesus is telling them what he wants them to do, and he's telling them he wants them to love each other this way. And why that's so important for us is that this morning what I'm going to challenge us to do is to love each other the same way that Jesus told his disciples to love each other. That's where we're headed this morning. I've got an application for you at the end, which is going to be a pretty weighty application. So if you're not used to my applications, get ready for that. It's coming. So the first thing that Jesus tells his disciples is he wants them to deliver a love that is familiar. He wants them to deliver a familiar love to each other. Look with me at John chapter 15, verse 12. And he says, my commandment, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. This is my commandment. Now, so you get a little bit of backstory of the verses that happened before this. And in verse 9, Jesus tells the disciples, I love you guys. And he says, the way for you to stay in that love, to soak in that love, and to be in that love is to obey my commandment. And at this point, we may be going to go into some explanation of the commandment that he wants him to do that's really pious or very hard or strict living. But Jesus explains what that commandment is. So he said, if you want to stay in my love, if you want to sit in my love and experience my love, obey my commandment. And then in verse 12, he says, this is my commandment. And he says, love each other the way I have loved you. And he says, love each other. Now, in the context here, what he's saying to Peter, he says, Peter, love John the same way that I have loved you. He's saying, Matthew, love Bartholomew the same way that I love you. Jesus is telling them to love each other. If Jesus was, he'd be saying, hey, Tom, love Hazel the same way that I've loved you. Okay? That's what he would be saying. If he was talking to us, he would be saying, you guys in this room, love each other. And what I'm trying to combat here is that we hear this concept, love each other. It's like this big general thing, like love everybody. But really the command was very specific to these guys. It's like, love each other. Next, you love them. And how does he tell them to love them? In the same way that I have loved you. You see, Jesus has put up with these guys for 3 years. Almost 3 years. He's put up with them. He's put up with their snoring at night. He's put up with their antics, their fighting, their bickering, their all of the things. They're getting up on the wrong side of the bed. They're grumping, whatever. He's put up with that for the last 3 years. Loved those guys. He's demonstrated a real practical love for them. And he's saying, hey guys, I want you to love each other the same way that I have loved you. And he's using himself as an example because it's something that's familiar to them. They would understand that. They would say, oh, when Jesus is saying love Luke like Jesus loved me, because just yesterday Jesus did this for me. It was very familiar to them because Jesus loved them that way. And so when they heard that, they understood that it was their responsibility to love each other in the same way that Jesus had done just yesterday, the day before. It's a familiar love. And that familiar is very powerful. It's very helpful. When we were ordering these mugs, we weren't sure. We had an idea, and so went on the internet, and we were looking for different companies and trying to find a mug that was just perfect for this occasion. And there are dozens of them out there. There's big ones, there's small, tiny ones, there's really fat ones, there's skinny ones, there's ones with all kind of weird writing on. I mean, there's just a ton of different things to choose from. And I really had this thing, I was like, I don't want this to be a mug that somebody just throws up in their cupboard and they don't ever think about it. I want it to be one that people use. And so I said, man, for me, my favorite mug is this campfire mug that I have. It's my favorite mug. It's not a real campfire mug, but it looks like one. And it's got the school that I went to for my undergraduate. It's got their logo on it. And it's a big, chunky mug, holds lots of coffee. And I'm like, this is the kind of mug I want people to have because I'm familiar with this one. I've used it. This is the mug. And so what we did is we ordered mugs similar to that one because it was familiar. Stood what we were looking for. We understood what would work. And so that's what we ordered. And when Jesus is talking to his disciples, he's saying, I'm not asking you to do something that's weird and crazy that you'll never understand. I'm asking you to do something that you're familiar with because I've been doing it to you. And so here comes the challenge for us this morning. The first part of the challenge is what I want you to do is I want you to think back over the past week. I want you to isolate a time when the Lord has shown you love this week. This is going to take a little bit of work, I know. Got to clear the cobwebs a little in our minds. Think back over the past week to a time when the Lord has shown you love. It may be a time when you receive something unexpected, an unexpected blessing. It may just felt a sense of peace or a sense of comfort in the midst of a trial. Or just this sense over you for some reason that didn't make any sense, this sense over you that I love you. Whatever it is, over the past week, I want you to isolate a time in your mind when you can say, that was an expression of the Lord's love to me. What happened there? I want you to isolate something that the Lord has done with you over the last week. Now, I didn't take just this moment to talk about this. And the reality is that for the most part, I know I'm talking to people this morning who have a relationship with the Lord, who have entered into a relationship with the Lord because they become a believer. And for the most part, most of us are trying to live in a right relationship with the Lord, but we get off track sometimes, and sometimes we don't do the things that we know we should do, and we get a little off track, and we get a little off, and so the communication isn't great. I understand that, but I'm telling you, let's get back on track. You need to. For some of you, maybe you've never had that experience with the Lord. Maybe you've never entered into a personal relationship with the Lord. If you've never done that, come and talk to me after the service. I would love to talk to you about that. But for many of you, for the most part, we're just trying every day to live in the way we're supposed to live. And hopefully, I've been praying the Lord would at least show you more this past week where He has shown you love. And I'm just asking you to unpack that, isolate that for in your mind. We're going to do something with it in a little bit. A way in which the Lord has communicated love to you. We're going to do something with that in a little bit. The overarching question that I'm asking is, what are we supposed to do with the Lord's love? And the first thing we've seen is Jesus told His disciples to do something left, to deliver to each other a familiar love, a love similar to what Jesus had showed them. And then in verse 13, Jesus tells them to give, to deliver a forfeiting love. Look with me at verse 13. He says, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend." There is no greater love. What Jesus is saying, kind of love's out there. But the high one, the one at the pinnacle, the greatest love, this is the one I'm talking about here. You know, he understands that there is a love that we have for Chicago-style hot dogs. He understands that there's a love we have for our dog. He understands that, but he's saying the greatest love, the one that's at the top, the biggest, most important love, the greatest love that a man lays down his life for his friends. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. Now, when we hear this story, we think back and we think that Jesus, in a few days, would lay down his life for his friend. He would give up his life on the cross. But remember, at this point in the story, that hasn't happened yet. And Jesus is telling that the greatest love that a person can have is to lay down his life for his friend. And in their context, what they would be hearing is all of the ways in which Jesus loved him that wasn't convenient for him. All of the ways in which Jesus did something that was best for the disciples when it wasn't necessarily best for him. When he was patient with them, when they didn't understand things, when he was gently correcting them, when they're amongst each other, when they were saying and thinking the wrong things, Jesus gently worked with them. And Jesus didn't do what was best for him in those moments. He did what was best for them. That's how Jesus demonstrated to his disciples that whole concept of laying down your life. And then he concludes this phrase when he says, "Laying down your life, your friends." And this is, for us, 2,000 years removed, this is probably doesn't strike us as that strange. But Jesus is considered by the disciples to be their rabbi, their teacher. And within the Jewish context, teachers didn't mingle with students. They weren't friends. Teachers were in a whole different hierarchy, a different class. Stuff students didn't, and they didn't mingle. But Jesus said something here. He said, "No greater love is one lays down his life for his friends." And what Jesus is giving the disciples here is a backhanded compliment, and he's saying, "Hey guys, you are my friends." Even in the Greco-Roman culture, which is likely the context of where this was going on, the scene was happening, even the Greco-Roman culture that was going on, there was a lot of friendship, a lot of sacrifice for people within the same stratus hierarchy of life. But people who were Roman citizens didn't fraternize with people that weren't. And you certainly wouldn't lay down your life for someone like that. Jesus is saying something here that just blows their mind. Love has no man than this, that a man lays down his life for his friends. And his disciples heard this, like, Jesus just called me his friend. And the reality is that I know he does love me, because he's been willing to lay down his life for the last 3 years for me. And that reality is that oftentimes when we're on the receiving end of love, it seemed simple. Like, for example, you guys will go out of here, you'll grab a cup and you'll walk out and say, hey, this is pretty cool, it's pretty simple. But getting that cup into your hand was a lot of work. We had to order it, we had to pick it out, we had to order it to have it, we had to have it shipped, we had to wrap them. Didn't do any of the wrapping, just to be clear, that's why they look so pretty. But we had to do a lot of work to get those into your hands. When you're on the receiving end of the gift, just loving other people is pretty easy. It's just great. But when you're on the giving end of the love, it's a lot of work. It's hard. Jesus knew that, and he communicated to his disciples. He says, listen, guys, this is the greatest love, when a man lays down his life for his friends. It's a lot of work. And the person has to go into that situation with an idea that they have forfeiting kind of love. A love that gives up what's best for us in order to help someone else. So now I want you to take that way that you've seen over the past week, that way you've seen that the Lord has expressed his love for you. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to measure that way that you've seen. And I want you in your own mind, I want you to evaluate that and say, was that kind of love something that I definitely deserved? Was that expression of love, the way that the Lord has intervened in my life and showed me his love for me, was that something I probably deserved? Or was that expression of love something I did not deserve? So think about this moment over the past week that the Lord has shown you. Ask yourself, is that something that I definitely deserved? Is that something I probably deserved? Or is it something that I did not deserve? And if you're honest with yourself, most of you are going to come to the conclusion that whatever it was something that you did not deserve. And the question I want to leave with you right now is, why? Why did the Lord, over the past week, do something in your life, whatever it was, for you, and you really, truly didn't deserve it? Why? Ultimately, what we're doing is we're trying to answer this question, what are we supposed to do with the Lord's love? The first thing that we've seen is that we're supposed to love each other with a familiar love. Thing that Jesus tells them they should love each other with a forfeiting love, that giving up kind of a way of loving each other. Now the third thing he's going to say is you should love each other with a from love. Look with me at verse 14. Jesus says, you are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends if you do what I command. Jesus often says some incredibly profound statements, and this is one of them. And we often, if you have ever read this statement in the Bible, you've probably ran over it, and you've gotten a basic idea of what Jesus is saying. But I'm going to slow you down, and I'm going to help you see how profound what Jesus is saying here. He says, is you are my friends. He uses the present tense. He doesn't use a future tense. He uses a present tense. And he says, you are my friends. And then the next word is if. Now, in our English way of thinking, and in our elementary ways of the ways that people function in elementary, we think what Jesus is getting at here is, you guys are my friends if you do what I want you to do. It's not what Jesus is saying here. He says, you are already my friends if you love one another. And what Jesus is saying, I'm sorry, what it says in the, well, I skipped ahead of myself there. It says, you are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends if you do what I command. And we already know what he commands is to love one another. So what Jesus is saying is not that you are not my friend if you don't do what I command. He's saying this is how you know if you are my friend. If you do what I command, which is to love one another. And powerfully what Jesus is communicating here is that I've already loved you, disciples. I've already loved you guys. I've demonstrated that I love you by a self-sacrificing love for you. And when you understand that, you will love each other. And that's how you will know that you are my friends. He's not saying you won't be my friend if you don't love each other. He's saying that's how you'll know that you are my friend, is when you obey, which is to love one another. Jesus uses a little bit of a thing where they have to really think about it to understand what he's saying here. And we often read that and we think it's conditional, like, well, if I don't love the people around me, then I must not be a friend of Jesus. It's not what he's saying. When you understand how much I love you, then you'll love the people around you. It's a through kind of a love. That's the genius of these coffee mugs. You'll see this when you open it up. It's the genius of it. And I can't take credit for it. We just stumbled upon it. It's the genius of this coffee mug. We're going to give you this coffee mug, and it's kind of a cool thing. You're like, hey, I got a gift. This is great. Woo, got a coffee mug. But when you open it up, you're going to see that there's a statement on the coffee mug. And the coffee mug says, ask me about Jesus. Now, it's not going to take too long. That statement's not really for me. Like, I'm not going to get up tomorrow morning and drink my coffee and say, ask me about Jesus. Okay, Forrest, what about Jesus? It's not for you. The coffee mug is a gift from us to you. It's for you. But it's really designed to be something for you to share your love for Jesus, for the Lord, with someone else. It's a through type of love. That's what Jesus is communicating in this. Understand how much I love you. If you understand that, then you'll love each other. And that's how you'll know that you're my friend. And the same way that this cup is doing that, it's a gift for you and it's something for you, but it's not just for you, it's something to go through you to other people. So here's my challenge, and this is the part that's going to take some work. You thought it was hard to finish the challenge up to this point. Now it gets really tough. Here's the thing, I've asked you to isolate a way over the past week that the Lord has shown you love. And now here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. In the similar way that the Lord has loved you, love someone else this week. In the similar way that you have received the love, express a similar love to someone else. If you've gotten something that you didn't expect, a blessing, whether it was material or an encouragement or whatever, that same way that you've been loved, this next week, show someone the exact same, as much as you can, love. If you got encouragement that you didn't expect and it helped you, go encourage someone else. If you read a verse or you found comfort in the midst of it happened, go find someone who's going through a trial and encourage them. In whatever way you've been encouraged, do that for someone else this week. Here's why I'm challenging you to do that. Because I'm trying to help each of us begin to think through that the Lord has working in our lives, the Lord is showing us love, but he's not doing that for us. He's doing that so that we do things for someone else. just like he did to his disciples. That was the message that he had for them. My love for you is for you to love each other. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be about 42 degrees when you get up. Y'all are going to have a really cool little mug in your hand, hopefully. Pour some coffee in there, tea, whatever you drink in the morning. And as you're drinking, then I want you to look at that statement. I said, ask me about Jesus. And I hope that that's a reminder to you that no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord has loved you. But the love is not just something for you to sit in and become greedy and just ingest. That love is something that he intends for to go into you and then for you to use to help in your life. So I've asked you to isolate a way in which you understand that the Lord has expressed love to you this week. And I ask you to think through, how much did you really deserve that? And then this next week, look for someone in a similar situation who you can express love to the same way that the Lord has expressed to you. It's a tough challenge, but you get a week between Christmas and New Year's to pull it off. Bow with me, if you would, for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come into this building to worship, to sing Christmas carols, to hear beautiful music being played on the bells, but more importantly, to be challenged, challenge the disciples to love each other the same way that you've loved us. I pray that you would help us to have courage, to be disciplined, to take the opportunity to think through the ways in which you've loved us over the past week and find a similar way to express love to someone in our lives who needs to hear it. We love you, and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name.
Let's stand to our feet and sing once more before we leave this morning.
If you'd like to talk to somebody after the service, you've got some questions, you'd like somebody to pray with you, please come forward after the service. There'll be some folks up here that will be happy to talk to you. Alex would love to talk to you. Cameron would also love to talk to you. There's plenty of people who love to talk to you. I normally would, but I'm going to run in the back and I'm going to go hand out a bunch of... Now, all glory to God who is able, according to His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.